ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद् भागवतम् Canto 4, Chapter 28, Text 48. Utishto tishta rajar she imam udadhi me kalam dasyu bhyak kshatra bandhu bhyo bhibhyatin patam arhasi. This is the queen calling out to the king after he's died. O best of kings, please get up, get up. Just see this world surrounded by water and infested with rogues and so-called kings. This world is very much afraid, and it is your duty to protect her. This describes the death of King Puranjan and the wife calling out to him to get up and what's going to happen without you. And Srila Prabhupada in the purport discusses what happens after the passing away of an acharya. The purport is as follows. Whenever an acharya comes following the superior orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead or his representative, he establishes the principles of religion as enunciated in Bhagavad Gita. Religion means abiding by the orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's a common statement that Srila Prabhupada makes based on what? Sanskrit? Dharmang tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. Yeah, okay. Religion means abiding by the orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Religious principles begin from the time one surrenders to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is the acharya's duty to spread a bona fide religious system and induce everyone to bow down before the Supreme Lord. One executes the religious principles by rendering devotional service, specifically the nine items like hearing, chanting, and remembering. Unfortunately, when the acharya disappears, rogues and non-devotees take advantage and immediately begin to introduce unauthorized principles in the name of so-called swamis, yogis, philanthropists, welfare workers, and so on. Actually, human life is meant for executing the orders of the Supreme Lord, and this is stated in Bhagavad Gita. Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mang namaskuru mame vaishyasi yuktvaivam atmanang matparayanaha. Engage your mind always in thinking of me and become my devotee. Offer obeisances and worship me. Being completely absorbed in me, surely you will come to me. The main business of human society is to think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead at all times, to become His devotees, to worship the Supreme Lord and to bow down before Him. The acharya, the authorized representative of the Supreme Lord, establishes these principles, but when he disappears, things once again become disordered. The perfect disciples of the acharya try to relieve the situation by sincerely following the instructions of the spiritual master. At the present moment, practically the entire world is afraid of rogues and non-devotees. Therefore, this Krishna consciousness movement is started to save the world from irreligious principles. Everyone should cooperate with this movement in order to bring about actual peace and happiness in the world. Yeah, one of those heavy purports. Of course, all of the purports of all of the writing of Srila Prabhupada is heavy in the sense that it is weighty or it is significant. It doesn't deal with trivialities, and many of them are heavy because they describe the horrible situation in the material world in general and at the present time. That is a factor in this purport. But especially heavy is this statement about the devotional society, that everything becomes disordered after the acharya leaves. I remember reading this first of all when Srila Prabhupada was still present here. And I wasn't sure what to make of it, because on the one hand we were in the hope or the illusion that Srila Prabhupada would just remain with us forever. And on the other hand, this purport is something of a warning of what could happen after he leaves. But I and many others, I believe, in disciples of Srila Prabhupada at the time, thought that Srila Prabhupada was, when he wrote like this or spoke like this, he was referring back to his own experience with the Gauriya Math after the Acharya, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, passed away and chaos broke out. But even when Srila Prabhupada passed away, it seems there were quite a few devotees who were very everyone was disturbed in one sense, but what would be the future of the movement? We were all quite unsure. I remember I was in Calcutta at that time in our ISKCON center, and every day, class after class, in the morning class, there'd be discussion of how this movement will go on. We just have to continue doing the same things. I wasn't particularly perturbed or concerned, probably because I was engaged in distributing Srila Prabhupada's books, and that in itself gives a strong sense of hopefulness. But soon after Srila Prabhupada's departure, in the movement there was a sense of direction and confidence restored. Or we knew how it was going to go forward, that 11 of Srila Prabhupada's disciples would initiate, and we were told, and myself and many others believed it, that they were all just on the same level. They'd taken the blessings of Srila Prabhupada, and they were all as good as Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada had expanded himself in 11 forms, and the same. Because when Srila Prabhupada was here, we felt so protected. Everything's all right. We just have to follow Prabhupada and we go back to Godhead. The whole world will become Krishna conscious. And again, that feeling revived, but within a short time, it became quite clear that these 11 themselves were not on the level of Srila Prabhupada and not able to give the same assurance and confidence, and chaotic condition ensued, which is going on to a large extent within our movement. There's disorder. Srila Prabhupada has used the term disordered. It's certainly not the single focused movement that it used to be. Srila Prabhupada warns about this. And he also says that perfect disciples try to relieve the situation by sincerely following the instructions of the spiritual master. There shouldn't be any problem in a spiritual movement if it's led by persons who are entirely pure. But there was no problem when Srila Prabhupada was present, because he was entirely pure. He had no other desire than to always, as he's quoted here from Bhagavad Gita, always think of Krishna, be his devotee, bow down to him and worship him, and to induce others to do so. Srila Prabhupada had no personal desire whatsoever. And if there are devotees on that level, they can inspire the same kind of confidence. And Srila Prabhupada recommends here that perfect disciples of the Acharya try to relieve the situation by sincerely following the instructions of the spiritual master. That reminds us of a letter also that Srila Prabhupada wrote, that in which he said that only a perfectly liberated person is fit to be an acharya, but those who strictly follow, they can also act in that way. By following the liberated, one acts on the liberated platform. By sincerely following the instructions of the spiritual master, things can go on. But it's often seen in many religious or spiritual organizations that if it's held together, everyone is following one leader, and when he passes away, they quarrel among themselves. This is the age of quarrel, Kali Yuga. They quarrel among themselves, or they have different opinions, and then there are factions formed. Srila Prabhupada several times stated he's very afraid of factions, of a crack, that everything will split. He often told the story of how, or gave the example that sticks bundled together become very strong, but individually they can be broken one by one very easily. But if they're all bundled together, you can't break them. So many acharya or common system is that they will appoint someone to be the acharya after them, and then everyone else has to follow, and those who don't like to follow, they have to go out and make their own organization. And that can work to hold an institution together, but everything depends then on one person and his own spiritual acumen. In the Gaurya Math, after Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur left, contrary to the instruction of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, one acharya was appointed, but soon it became apparent that it didn't work. And then the Gaurya Math, already in his presence, there was a split into two, and now there are 40 or more organizations have come out of that, and it goes on splitting. So it's a matter of great concern to those who want to follow in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada and bring his mercy to the world. How can that be done? This ISKCON organization is meant for that purpose. Srila Prabhupada stated that your love for me will be shown by how you cooperate to keep this institution together after I have departed. Based on many, many statements of Srila Prabhupada, we can footnote that statement that simply holding it together is not enough. That it has to be at a holding it together on the spiritual platform. Srila Prabhupada also said that if you cannot increase, at least you maintain what I have given. So maintain means not only in terms of buildings, temples, but also maintaining the standards of chanting, following the principles. Practically speaking, the standard for initiation within ISKCON has drastically reduced after Srila Prabhupada's departure, because it used to be that everyone who was initiated would rise. Well, that was the standard. Not everyone did it, but it was expected. Most devotees did. It would rise early by 4 o'clock and engage in full-time service all the time. Of course, Srila Prabhupada said that people living at home, they can also work and follow these principles. But practically speaking, most of the initiated devotees today are grihasthas who they don't have very proper sadhana. So in that sense, things have decreased drastically. State of disorder, different opinions, different interpretations of Srila Prabhupada's instructions. We could say that is expected. As long as the acharyas here, everyone, he holds them together, by the, they all follow his order. And then when there are dissensions or disputes, he can give the word, and then everyone has to follow what he says. Also, one feature of a very powerful acharya like Srila Prabhupada is that he lifts everyone by his own spiritual afflatus, just lifts everyone up. And that was very much the situation with Srila Prabhupada and his followers, that his leading disciples felt confident that they could go on in much the way that Srila Prabhupada had gone on, and they might have been able to do so if they hadn't attributed to themselves the same status as Srila Prabhupada. But they felt very spiritually confident because Srila Prabhupada empowered them. And they felt that, yeah, we can go on. As Srila Prabhupada often said, what is the difficulty? We can go on and distribute books and spread the movement. But it seems they weren't aware that their own conditioning was deeper than they had realized, and that it was really Prabhupada's great mercy that was lifting them up. And when they somehow or other became... That they became separated from that mercy, or they became exposed to their own shortcomings, and then there was disaster. So Srila Prabhupada really lifted everyone up on a Vaikuntha wave, and although there's, in one sense, there's no reason why we shouldn't have maintained it, in another sense, Srila Prabhupada does write here that when the acharya departs, things become disordered, as different people, then their own personal desires come out, or without the acharya to push. Srila Prabhupada said this is a pushing movement, just like my spiritual master is pushing me, I am pushing you, and you should push others. Then we may tend to become complacent, lazy. We have a temple, people are giving money, we're living comfortably, so what need is there to work hard to try to bring people into Krishna consciousness? Why should we try to recruit brahmacharis and train them when we can hire people to... In India, we can hire grihastha devotees to do all the services, and temple runs on, and people come and give money, and everything goes... We do festival, everything goes on nicely. And in the Western countries, we bring, in America, we can hire some devotees from Latin America or Russia, or give them something to do this. And everything goes on. Everything goes on, but the spirit of service is compromised. And then with this, then we try to justify that which should not be justified. Or we say that Srila Prabhupada is wrong and doing certain things, and all disorder, a chaotic situation comes about. In one sense, we shouldn't be surprised, because manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yatati siddhi yatatam api siddhanam kaschin mang veti tatvataha. Out of many thousands of people, one may even be interested in spiritual life. And of those who have achieved perfection in spiritual life, which are not very many, hardly one knows Krishna. So it is somewhat of a paradox that on one hand we want to spread the movement very widely and bring many people into chanting Hare Krishna. On the other hand, to bring people up to the level of pure devotional service requires generally to invest much energy into training people and guiding them and giving the proper example. Srila Prabhupada said we have to spend gallons of blood to make people Krishna conscious. Practically we can expect, if we expand widely without programs to train people or guide them, then we're going to have more and more neophyte devotees. And then in our own presence, or after the departure of an acharya, then we can expect they'll fight among each other. Neophyte means, one definition we can give, those who have not understood or internalized the anyabhilashita shunyam principle. The principle, krishnate, krishnarte kila cheshta, everything for Krishna's sake. Those who come to devotional service and who are not trained in this principle, that everything for Krishna. We're not here to enjoy or to use Krishna consciousness as a means to live more happily in this material world. Without understanding that principle, one can go on in Krishna consciousness, but one can even become a big leader, but cultivating the wrong attitude, a materialistic attitude of making myself very big and accumulating money for myself and so many things like this. And then naturally materialistic people will quarrel among themselves and they'll misrepresent the pure philosophy of Krishna consciousness because they don't like it. They don't themselves like it. Or they'll pretend that they're following it when they're not following it. And in this way, the pure teachings of Krishna consciousness become covered, and they may not even want to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books, or they may write other books which have a different, markedly different approach, in which they don't stress surrender or even mention surrender to Krishna, and then they think they're doing great preaching because so many people are becoming followers of them, but it's not the anyabhilashita shunya principle. So in this way, they pollute the whole process of devotional service. So we can expect that. And unless there's clear understanding of what is pure devotional service, unless that is stressed and lived by, then we may be doing everything seemingly according to the principles of pure devotional service. It may be the kirtan is going on, the classes are going on. Generally that will also, people won't be interested in classes, or they'll change the class to become some kind of entertainment show rather than the philosophical classes that Srila Prabhupada gave. Things will get changed, the flavor, the mood, things will change. Away the tendency to recidivism, this is called, going back to what we were. We get lifted up and again we fall down. So it requires constant effort to go up toward Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada was pulling us up. He didn't make it very easy for his disciples, you could say. We hear about the unlimitedly merciful Prabhupada, but his unlimited mercy included insisting that we rise early every morning. We quite a strict regimen compared to materialistic life, and so many rules we have to follow. Just to help us to become Krishna conscious. And if we think that we can become Krishna conscious in a very relaxed way, in our own style, then without that protection that we get from following properly and strictly, then we fall down or we fail to go up. So as we try to expand our movement more and more, we have to see also that Srila Prabhupada also spoke of boiling the milk. The example he gave, that milk, if you boil it, becomes more and more thick and nourishing. If you add more water, then it becomes less nourishing and less tasty. So if we simply increase without increasing the or maintaining the quality, then we can expect more and more neophyte attitudes and deviations and if we try to boil, at least in our own lives, boil the milk, that doesn't mean that we stop trying to preach Krishna consciousness, but taking it very seriously, studying Shastra, chanting our rounds, following the principles, not making excuses. At least in ourselves, we can become those disciples, the perfect disciples who Srila Prabhupada mentions here, but it's lost anyway. Yeah, the perfect disciples try to relieve the situation by sincerely following the instructions. Okay. All right. Hare Krishna. I'll finish there. Some thoughts. Because after all, we're living in this moment. We have very high ideals, isn't it? Very high ideals. Even people are surprised at our high ideal. We always have to live up to them. Otherwise, if we don't live up to them, then what's the point? Anything? No. All right. Okay. We'll finish there.